Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive, turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for-
When you think of skyrocketing brands like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, it's easy to credit their success to great products, sleek branding, and brilliant marketing. But here's the overlooked secret. The real magic lies in the engine behind the scenes, the business powering their business. For millions of brands, that engine is Shopify, making selling seamless for them and shopping effortless for us. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Aloe Yoga uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/retail to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/retail.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Charlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. Well, we don't just like talking about survival, we talk about thriving. Today, we have an extraordinary guest, Dan Pellegrini, also known as the Suicide Warrior. Since 2016, Dan has been on a mission to help others choose life after his own harrowing battles with suicide attempts in 1996 and 2010. He's turned his pain into purpose, and today he's here to share how he overcame depression and suicidal ideations and became an inspiration for thousands. Get ready for a raw, unfiltered conversation about life, survival, and what it takes to push through the darkest moments. This is Keeping It Real, and let's dive in. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Edna. Thank you for having me. That was a great intro.
Welcome.
You know,
Dan. You know, you've been open about your two suicide attempts. What's the one thing you wish people truly understood about that kind of darkness?
A good question. Let me see if I can answer it the right way. Because we're all extraordinary, but we mm-hmm. all can be a little odd and extraordinary. So
absolutely,
you know, the way we can be in life, everybody has their own quirks and their own things. But when we talk about the question that you asked about darkness, never experienced that kind of darkness in my life. You know, that late in my life, and never had depression. Maybe a little bit in the side of the family, my father's side, my Uncle Frank. But, you know, mm-hmm. nothing big. You know, they say it runs in the family. I think it's situations and events that happen, your chemical imbalance, if you're, you know, you're drinking or you're drugging. You know, all these things that can be happening to you and pushing very, you know, men, we can push hard. You know, we don't want to fail, and I don't want to be a failure, and I'm taking care of all these kids and the wives mm-hmm. and everything, and not really caring for yourself. But anyway, getting back to that dark moment I experienced, it didn't happen like right away. Some people get shocked into darkness when they lose a child.
Okay.
You know, worst thing, you lose a child, you can go into deep depression very quickly. It took time. Gradually, the suicide ideation got me darker. I got more darkness around me. And I wasn't seeing any of the world or anything good about it anymore. You know, raised the Catholic my whole life, doing my thing for, you know, 50 years a Catholic. But wasn't working for me, so I took my Buddhism. But anyway, we can get into that in a moment. But that dark moment I hit, the real dark moment came, was the first attempt after 7-8 months of suicide ideation in 96 after a divorce, closed the business, threw away my accordion. I played accordion for 10 years. Everything in the baby in the bathwater, drove to Florida to go detail cars with my brother. From real estate to detailing cars. Not that this business is a great detail business, but I went from, you know, I did mechanics when I was younger. I've done that already. Went from a three-piece suit to detailing cars. I said, keep me in the garage. Got very depressed. 8 months of that darkness hovering. And the moment came in the hotel when I chose the hotel to do the attempt. And it wasn't a violent one, but enough to, mm-hmm. I should not be here. I don't like to get into the details of a suicide because it could trigger anybody, and I don't want to trigger anybody, but it was enough that I shouldn't be here. So when I get in that room, mm-hmm. and I experience that moment, looking at the corner of that room, wasn't the cleanest hotel, writing notes to everybody and doing my just wretched mm-hmm. with suffering and pain. And I looked at that corner, and I said, this is it. This is where it's going to end then. And I saw that little bit of light, just very little left, that I really didn't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
But it changed. You know, that darkness got so dark. All the light was going away. All the lightness was gone of my life.
Wow.
And when I decided to ingest and do what I did, it was, you know, I get very raw with this. When you ask that kind of question, it brings me back to the room.
Yeah.
20-something years ago. And I'm crying because of the fact that I'm overjoyed that I'm alive. And I survived that, you know, situation. And if other people that are in that dark moment, in that darkness you talk about, that it just brings me right into the conversation. It's a wretched animal. It's like an 800-pound gorilla on your back. And you could be a strong guy. Tough Italian grew up with tough guys, man. It ain't about toughness. When your mind is chemically imbalanced and you're not right, you could be 60 pounds and falling down because that's what it does to you. And it really affects you psychologically, and you can get psychotic. like even Deepak Chopra said, you're in a psychotic state. And I understood what he meant now when I heard that, because it was really, you're battling all these psychic stuff in your head, the devilish functions, whatever evils are, whatever's going on spiritually, you are just wretched with darkness. And to pull out of that is another question there. But that darkness, you got to fight to see that light. And I didn't. And I wrote the notes. And I did what I did. And I survived. I said, this is it. Boom. Drinking the alcohol. Drinking, ingesting Tylenol. You know, whatever I was doing. All that stuff. And I'm just like, because you're just no more pain. That's what you're saying in your head. It ain't like you're a chicken or you're a coward. You're like, no more pain. I can't deal with it no more. Yeah. It's been going on for too long. Now, some people react differently. They kill themselves immediately. They move out of the house, the wife and kids, the guy comes home, a district attorney, goes down the road in New York and shoots himself. You know, how do you help a guy like that? He, you know, there's no intervention there. He sees it empty, lost his wife and kids, and boom. And these are the people who are the toughest to help, that they hope they hear words from you, or they hope they see something to put that wedge in. And when I went into the hospital and the darkness that was hovering around my life, the doctor said, what did you do? And I'm like, told him what I did. He goes, you're lucky you're alive. You know, the Tylenol, everything, a lot.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, we're trying to save people's lives here, Dan, and, you know, you're trying to take yours. But we're going to do our best to help you survive, but we don't know if your kidney, your liver, it's all going to fail for what you did. So he got me an IC, 48 hours of hell. Lucky I pulled out of it. And that's even a longer story, but I'm writing a book about all my experiences that hopefully come out in a year or more to go. But you know, things like that. But that darkness is a very 800-pound gorilla on his back. You gotta reach out and I didn't even the second time. When the depression attacks you, it's not about positive and motivation. You're not even thinking of all that. You just
you're
so entrenched in that pain.
Right.
That the only thing you think it's a permanent solution to a temporary problems you have.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the darkness that I experienced.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like that you're I appreciate this. This is so, so good to hear. And I know that the audience is going to really appreciate this. You've transformed your pain into a mission to inspire others. What's the hardest part of sharing your story publicly, and how do you push through it, through that fear?
Shame?
Yeah.
Guilt?
Mm-hmm.
That you would put this on yourself and put this on others? It's like yesterday to me when I talk about it. Not that I'm in that kind of state or I'm depressed.
Right, right. Of course.
I've been med-free since 2011. Ever since I started my Buddhist practice, my life elevated. My life condition is high. And for the past 17 years and getting public in 2016. And when I was in 2010, in 2000, I wrote a program. I went to college for the first time, psychology. I wrote a 33-page program on suicide prevention.
Right.
My stepdaughter almost got killed in 2007 from a car accident I was raising. Put everything on the back burner. So I had it in me to get out there and do something. I said, well, in Buddhism, we talk about how do we turn this poison into medicine for yourself and for others. So from 10 to 16, I'm struggling with shame and guilt for 5 or 6 years. Nothing about I can go on stage, my brother's band, and do things and be a public speaker.
Okay. And it's
the courage to not be worried about how people are going to look at you like you're a coward or you should you should be shameful of yourself, try to kill yourself. And that was the biggest hurdle for me, is overcoming that shame and guilt that I'm no longer going to care what people think. Because I'm going to help people. I don't help everybody. I've lost people through the run of this. Even before I practiced Buddhism, I was always helping people as a Catholic. I mean, I was always like a helping hand, but now it's, morphed into day-to-day social media, 20 social sites, thousands of people. And I said, someone's hearing me. Someone's seeing me.
Right, right.
I hope I'm turning that page for somebody. I had a young man in his 20s on Instagram. He goes, I've been watching you for like 6 months there. I just want to thank you. You helped me pull out of a tough situation.
Right. It's good to hear those things. Yeah.
Yeah. When you hear it, you say, well, all the negativity that came at me, because when I first started, you know how it is.
Yeah.
When you're fresh at it and, you know, negative people come at you. And the best advice I got from one of my mentors was, and other speakers, you got to ignore the negative, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of it. You got to ignore it. Oh, you should have been successful. Or you should have this. Once you ignore it, and I've got a few advice from
not a good point. Not a good area to be in.
You stop propelling, like, because you just don't put all that energy towards it anymore. Because I'm a fighter. I'm like, I want to come back. You know, I want to say something. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to let go of that. I have to move forward in the positive side of things for people to show them that you can recover. Mm-hmm. You know, you can even come out of attempts and hopefully mm-hmm. never attempt again. When I said never say never again the first time, in 96, you know, we're talking, getting on 30 years, right?
Yeah.
And in 2010, we're getting on 15 years. I mean, time has gone by. So when I said never say never, then 14 years later, all this happened and my stepdaughter, all this stuff happened. I said to myself, don't ever say never. You always got to watch out for yourself. You always got to care for yourself. You got to be a warrior every day. Not worrying, you got to be a warrior, because when we worry... Yeah. When we worry, we get this dark cloud and we complain.
That's right. That's right.
When we complain, and, you know, it could be motivation we talk about there, but we're complaining and we're being negative towards other people, and we got this dark cloud that hovers over us. We never advance. We never advance. And that determination was one of my quotes when I first started practicing a determination quote. Mm-hmm. Once you make a determination, and I have it, but to try to remember it, and I have it still, you know, like I always read it. But once you make a determination, everything in your fiber of your body starts moving towards that direction of your success, whether it's in this or whatever you're doing. And you make that determination, although that was a failed attempt sometimes, something that wasn't determined. But when I kept at it and chanting my mantra and say, you got to stay determined. And then finally in 2016, I woke up, I chanted, I did my mantra. I could say 3 o'clock in the morning, I made my first video. And it was a little rusty, I must say, because you're doing it. But it propelled me into, it was never give up. I got, I think I got like 50,000 views. You know, you're a newbie on the block. And I got all these views. I'm like, well, it looks like I'm going to overcome the shame and guilt. And I still struggled until I can flow like this and not really give a crap what anybody thinks about what I did. Yeah. It's like, I'm here to help people. I'm here to show you that it's not about the physical strength. It's about the strength here too.
Yeah. I remember as you were talking, one of my friends had said to me, and I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So I was telling my story.
Sorry.
And talking about it all the time. She goes, why do you always have to talk about that? That doesn't have everything, doesn't have nothing to do with you. I said, it sure does. It is in every fiber of my being. And unless I work, do the inner work, unless I talk about it, nothing gets solved. Nothing gets canceled. Nothing gets, you know, nothing changes. And I said, not just for me, but for those that come after me.
Exactly.
My bloodline will carry what I keep inside of me. They will carry that.
Good point.
And it's important. This work that we both do in the arenas that we are in.
Helping people.
We help people. I remember a girl calling me after I wrote my book, and she saw it on some site on called rain.org. And she said, I bought the book, and she was all the way in the UK. She WhatsApped me. She said, I just bought your book, and I can't believe how it's helping me. I just want
to
say
thank you. It's good to hear. It's always good
to
hear.
It's so good to hear that, right?
That you're
making a difference. So you're making a difference, you know, and you should show up. You're making a difference if you don't show up, and you're making a difference if you do show up.
Right.
So you pick one.
It's moment to moment. It's always moment to moment. Like I said, I almost had to reschedule today. I had so much going on, my real estate business and other things I handle. But I'm like, you know, nope. I'm going to go get my warrior shirt. I'm going to fix my hair. And I'm going to show up for this. And I'm going to help somebody, hopefully not take their life by, you know, suicide, to die by suicide. Because now, like I said to one of my mentors, you know, somebody close in the family, friends in the family, a young daughter at 21 years old, and I was coming in late in her life, and I was trying to help her, but suicidal for 12 years, you know, multiple attempts, and, you know, she ended up, you know, she died by suicide, and it really rocked me, like, you know, about 3 years ago, after being in it for five, and I went to the mentor, and I said, you know, really bothering me that I couldn't save her and help her, and he just looked at me, she was short on words, but he said, look, Dan, you're not going to be able to help everybody.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do is keep doing what you're doing and help the ones you can. And he made me feel like, you know, you can't conquer the world. You know, it's not going to happen. But if you could make that one word, like my sensor meant they passed at 95 last year, I've been following him my whole 17 years. But he said, you can say one word to somebody or one word on this interview that me and you were saying, or one sentence that might turn someone's mind in a different direction. And say, you know what, if he can survive and she survived her tragedies, I can survive mine.
Yep, exactly. In a world where mental ill health is still often brushed aside, how do you respond to people who still think just snap out of it is the solution?
That's the stigma. That's the tough one. And when I got involved in this more and more, and you know, I've learned a lot since 2000, I've learned a lot about suicide. And you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you know, get tough. Even my old brother, you know, come on, you can tough, you know, get on. You don't need medication, you don't need all that. And he was wrong. He was wrong. It wasn't about football players that I've heard that you know, died by suicide, Junior Seau, half of the Patriots, two daughters, you know, shot himself. And I'm like, you know, I was in football 10 years, so it's a passion of mine, but I says, you know, I know the dark moment he was sitting with. I'd been there. I looked at that corner of the room. He looked at the gun and his depression and all the things. And he was the toughest guy, one of the toughest linebackers out there. And it ain't about toughness. It's not about toughness. It's about mind health, your brain health. Right. You know, when they say mental illness, you know, we're trying to, I got other advocates out there. They always say, let's not call it mental illness anymore because you're not a mental illness.
That's a good one.
You know, but even people that have, you know, mental deficiencies, mental case is almost like an insult. It's like they have a deficiency. They have a brain, you know, problem. You know, brain health, you know, all around, no matter what it is, the suicide. And I just, the way I try to respond to people about it the most is about the, when they talk about, because they don't understand. I'll start, look at you, don't understand. You don't understand. Sometimes when someone's talking to me, and you know, I'm a talker, by trade, I'm a talker, so in real estate, everything. But when they're talking to me, I'm listening to a mother about an 11-year-old daughter telling me that she's suicidal. I'm listening and I'm telling them, I'm so sorry to hear she's in this state of mind, in this state of life. I feel for you what's going on. It's not about I'm going to tell you how to fix it so quickly, but I'm going to tell you, this is tough. This is tough as a mother to sit there with an 11-year-old daughter that wants to check out. And there's a lot of kids are checking out today. I said, but after we got comfortable and we talked, and she's like, I don't know what to do. I said, this is what you should do as a mother. You know what she said to me? I told her, you got to get adolescent help. There's groups out there. They'll help your daughter. You know, you got to reach out. She goes, you know what she said to me? I'm ashamed.
Wow.
I'm ashamed as a mother that I'm going to show that my daughter wants to commit suicide and die by suicide. Right.
They take it on themselves. Yeah.
I have so much shame that I don't want to, like, is it my fault?
Yeah.
It's just nobody's fault.
Yeah.
And I pushed her. I said, no. Listen, I got really stern with her. I said, no, tomorrow morning, you need to make the calls for your daughter. If you love her the way you say you do, you need to make these calls. Never heard from her again for a while. You know, I told her, make the calls. 10 months later, put a picture of her and her daughter onto my messenger on Facebook on my public page. On Dan Pelley, Suicide Warrior. And I see the picture and it's her. And I see her and her daughter and they're both smiling and she writes, Dan, I just want to thank you so much for the guidance you gave me that day. Because the next morning I got two groups for my daughter and put it through the two groups and has not been suicidal since, no more ideation. She's thriving. And I just started crying, a grown man crying. I'm just like crying.
Wow.
When they talk about it, I didn't tell her, hey, you got to be strong as a mother. What's the matter with you acting shameful and all that? I said, look, I understand the shame better than anybody. But until I said to someone, and I'll say it for the men the most, because women are much more emotionally connected, and they'll bring it out. They're less successful because they take non-lethal means, but they're still successful. But men are more successful because of the means they take. And, when men are saying, oh, I got to, be strong and all that, that's the moment I tell people when they say about being strong, I'm like, no, it has nothing to do about strength. It's about sickness. There's something sickness going on in their mind, whether it's depression, bipolar, all of that stuff that's going on in their mind. Strength is not going to change that. Strength is not going to change that. So, I try not to get too upset at people when they say, hey, you should be strong. What's the matter? Don't be a coward. What is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's coming from your perspective because you're not depressed, I would tell them.
Yeah.
Because you're strong right now. Like I would say right now, like if I never did this or whatever, it's like my brother says, I don't think I could ever go there. Even when I was depressed, I said, that's probably like 5% of people like you, my older brother. I said, that's probably about 5% of people like you that will never go there. But there's 90% of people that suicide has crossed their mind.
Of course. Yeah. Right.
And it's just like, once we break through the stigma, like end stigma, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's rampant because when it comes to suicide, first of all, it's not a popular subject. So you're not social with something funny, goofy on TikTok and you're getting 1 million people. Because they like to be entertained. I got no problem with that. But suicide's
it's a constant
effort to show people that we can make this a conversation like we do now when I do my video clips and talk naturally and real to people that it's okay. You don't have to be shameful. It's okay. I understand the shame, but it's okay. Everything's gonna be okay. Go easy on yourself.
Sure.
One thing I've learned about everything I've been through is how to go easy on myself.
Yeah.
Especially for the men. We always feel we got to perform and we got to have our duty until you collapse on the floor and you want to check out.
Yeah, absolutely. You're passionate about giving back, but how do you ensure that you don't burn out while helping others who are in pain?
Isn't that just where I ended? About taking care of myself and separating the fact that.
When you think of skyrocketing brands like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, it's easy to credit their success to great products, sleek branding, and brilliant marketing. But here's the overlooked secret. The real magic lies in the engine behind the scenes, the business powering their business. For millions of brands, that engine is Shopify, making selling seamless for them and shopping effortless for us. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Aloe Yoga uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/retail to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/retail.
Because in Buddhism, we talk about grief a lot. And a lot of people can stay in grief for many, many years. And when we practice, we learn about grief that it's a to and fro, the yin and yang, is that this suffering is intertwined with our happiness, too.
Mm-hmm.
But once we elevate and our happiness and our recovery comes up, the grief is more manageable. It's more putting it where it needs to be put. I have grief. My stepdaughter is never going to be what she wanted to be with a traumatic brain injury. But do I let it overcome me? So I credit a lot to the SGI, my Buddhist practice, President Cater, for helping me elevate my life the past 17 years. And then my own determination that this is up to you, Dan, not the SGI, not your Buddhism, not your mother, not your father that I've lost, not your brother, not your sister, not your husband, not your kids. This is up to you to recover. Right. They care about you. They love you. They want you to recover. But no one's going to do it for you, no matter how much help you get. Of course, you want to be on medication so you don't hurt yourself. I'm for that. It helped me immensely. Makes you a little numb. You don't feel all your feelings, but you don't go hurt yourself either.
Right.
So there's a plus to it. Unfortunately, I'm med free, not for everybody. So I don't down, you know, hey, look at it. If you got to be on meds, don't begrudge it. If it's keeping you safe to a certain point, then keep taking it.
Right.
You know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a, you know, medical professional, but I know from experience, because I've been there. Now that I want to remove myself from taking meds, and I chanted about it, did what I did to raise my life condition. I got mentally, I got away from it. But at the same time, I think for people to give back and not burn out, and I'll stop sometimes and completely stop and just go chant. I'll go outside. I'll go take a walk. I wasn't doing that back in the day. I was going 24/7 like a train, trying to win it all, catch it all, do it all. You know, as you get older, obviously you become more passive and you change things a little bit because you learn.
To live.
You got to live life. You can't keep doing this thing.
Yeah, you got to live.
I'm tackling, you know.
That's right. You got to live. You got to extend your time without pain.
Right. And the reason why I think I'm tackling so much, I do credit my Buddhist practice a lot. My own determination that I talk about, it, like it really changes the fiber of your being that I can handle, you know, 10 or 12 people that work for me in my real estate, get on video, like I'll be making my next video. Of course, I make clips from it and I'm doing a lot of podcasting like yourself, you know, I think I did three or four the past 3-4 months. So I'm always trying to engage and, you know, do I go out live and speak? Don't have as much time to do that. But I'm really spread on social media. Why? Because I figure that's the big picture. I can get to a lot of people, you know. But of course, once this career ends in real estate, you know, it'll be full time to go out and speak, take the time to drive to places, senior homes, schools, you know, wherever I can talk about choosing life.
How can the audience get in touch with you?
Dan Pelly. Just Google me because I'm on 20 social sites. Just put Dan, P-E-L-L-Y, Pelly, and you'll find me on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat, I mean, Instagram, Reels. I mean, I'm on them all. And I try to post as much as possible. So you'll find me very easily. I do have a public page with about 80,000 followers. Dan Pelly, Suicide Warrior. Communicate through messaging. I've had people ask questions, things like that. I'm more happy to answer. So I'm always engaging. And, it, you know, it takes its turn like anything you do. It takes changes and it takes its own. It morphs into something different. You end one career, but I think this will be for the rest of my life. This is in my heart to do it full time, to help people.
Wow, what an intense, powerful conversation.
I'm tired. I need to take a nap.
Dan's story is a testament to the strength of human spirit and the power of turning trauma into triumph. If you're listening today and struggling, remember you are not alone. Kept saying that over and over. You're not alone.
You never give up.
There's always a way forward and starts with choosing life. Dan, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today. If you're out there fighting your own battle, take action. Reach out to Dan. Talk to someone.
In 988.
And remember, there's always hope. There's always hope.
In 988, you know, the helpline, they'll direct you to getting help or your own doctor. You know, you got... Absolutely. Asking, like I was going to say this about the men, saying, hardest thing for men, the hardest thing. And I said it, I need help. I need help. It's okay to ask for it. And it helped me immensely doing that.
Absolutely. If this episode has resonated with you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. And as always, keep it real and keep rising. We'll see you next time on Keeping It Real on Purpose. I'm your host, Edna White, and my esteemed guest, Dan Pellegrini.
Dan Pelly.
Please, you know, I'm sorry, that was a correction, but thank you for being here, audience, so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's keep choosing life.
Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, hello. It's Brooke Devard from Naked Beauty. Join me each week for unfiltered discussion about beauty trends, self-care journeys, wellness tips, and the products we absolutely love and cannot get enough of. If you are a skincare obsessive and you spend 20 plus minutes on your skincare routine, this podcast is for you. Or if you're a newbie at the beginning of your skincare journey, you'll love this podcast as well because we go so much deeper than beauty. I talk to incredible and inspiring people from across industries about their relationship with beauty. You'll also hear from skincare experts. We break down lots of myths in the beauty industry. If this sounds like your thing, search for Naked Beauty on your podcast app and listen along. I hope you'll join us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.